can handle the truth.
Late Night with Deanne on RBN, republicbroadcast.org, republicbroadcasting.org. If you want to call in to this broadcast, it's 1-800-313-9443. And tonight, it's going to be open line, and I want to hear from you about these things we're talking about here on the broadcast, and I'm going to bring my co-host, John, up because we're going to go really quick here with this stuff. John, are you there?
Hi, Deanne. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me okay?
Hearing you good.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's been a weird winter here. It's snowing now and slippery, and it's getting cold. How's that there where you are?
Well, it's they forecasted that we were going to be down in like the mid-teens for a cold and a high of 30, 35. And last night we hit 4 degrees, and yet there's no perimeter areas around us that were that cold. And so they had to bring it down from directly up above again. And this morning I watched probably 50 chemtrails be put down, and we're forecasted to have anywhere from like 12 to 24 inches of snow by tomorrow night.
Jeez, that's a lot of snow, a lot. Well, I don't know. Well, we're going to have a snowy Christmas, I guess, better than what we had before. Well, you know, folks, I want to talk about some of the things that are in the news. I want your opinion. I'm going to go to Chicago first and work my way around all these different things that are happening. One, we had the situation out here where the rapid transit was allegedly, might be still, we're not sure, going on strike on Monday. That means that the workers, the people that are trying to get to work to get that check before Christmas, may not be able to get to work if they rely on public transportation on Monday. And we don't know how long it will go on if they're going to strike. Now, the reason is because they have not balanced the budget in the state of Illinois, for one. And secondly, they don't have enough money to keep the transit authority running because they claim they ran out of cash. Now, the issue is here. Now, you know, we have the regional transit authority, and then we have the local one, which is CTA, and then we have Metro. And they're all kind of run, you know, simultaneous to the needs of people to get back and forth. It's very costly to drive a car in the city of Chicago. It can be $20, $25 to park all day, one day. And the thing is, folks, you know, people need to get back and forth. Transportation is greatly needed for people. Now, in Chicago, the buses are now running about $2 a ride, and then you have two transfers that you're allowed for about 2 hours. They're talking about changing that. They need to increase the fare, talking about going up to almost $4 a fare to get on and off the buses. They say they don't have any money. Now, the issue that happened this week that kind of caught my eye was the fact that now on the back end, we have a situation of police brutality that's been going on out here for, I don't know how long, eons, I would say. Policing officials doing things. We have still got the Drew Peterson case coming on out here, and nobody's doing anything really to lock this guy up, but he's, you know, in the eye of the public all over the world. And we have another police officer that was allegedly had raped a woman that was on crack, and he's behind a desk. And anyway, you know, they have money for them to still operate, but they don't have any money for the transit authority. Now, because of the police brutality, it was a situation where Al Sharpton came up, and he said, that, hey, there should not be an Olympics. something I've been saying all along. There shouldn't be Olympics in Chicago, all this corruption. But the thing is that he touted it. He said that, well, we're going to take the Olympics away. And the only way that we're going to do this is you got to come to the table, Mayor. And the mayor came back and said, I'll give you $20 million to go away. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about that. But transit authority doesn't have any money. We'll be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
And we're live here on RBN, and we're going to be talking about several levels of things, and I'm starting with the Chicago issue. We're going to work our way into United Airlines. We're going to talk about a situation of great concern of mine, and you need to hear this because, again, it affects all of us. So please stay tuned for the whole 3 hours of this broadcast and spread this around to everyone. Now, as I was going on, John, and everyone here before the break, we have a situation in the Chicagoland area where we have no money for the transit authority. They're going to go on strike on Monday because they don't have any money. And they're talking about massive amounts of layoffs, John, massive amounts of layoffs because the employees are not going to be able to be paid, first of all, because they don't have a budget in Illinois balance. They don't have the money to operate at $2 a person getting on the buses, which are pretty much filled up and swollen with people coming back and forth. They still have enough money. They don't have enough money, even though that a lot of the money comes from various other funding that they have in the state. They also get federal grants and stuff, but they don't have enough money. They're also a non-for-profit 501c3. They don't have enough money. And the thing is, they don't have enough money.
Let me ask you. You know, you're saying the buses are full. They hold, what, approximately 60 people?
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
And how long would a person normally ride a bus?
Oh, you got 2 hours on $2. But most people, you know, if they stop, they may get one transfer out of it. So say about an hour worth of ride.
Okay, so let's just do a quick guesstimate. So we got 60 people at $2 for an hour is $120 an hour.
On one bus.
And now, just to give you, for instance, I'm in the trucking business. And in the trucking business, a lot of times less than 5 years ago, 10-wheeler hauling the maximum weight of, like, 65,000 pounds. He might even had more than that with a permit. He might have gotten $35 an hour, stressing his truck to the max, and a tractor-trailer might have gotten in the range of close to $50 an hour. So now we're talking $120 an hour for something that's really not carrying much weight and is there daily. And all it is stop and go a little bit. You know, it's not like you're carrying a big load or anything or pounding anything. Why no money? I mean, they ought to be having a huge budget of surplus money with that kind of operation.
Uh-huh. Well, you would think, but they don't. So they're living money. They're going broke. They're bankrupt. They're complete, okay? So they might last until January, but in January, in order for them to last, they have to get rid of a lot of roots. They can't afford the roots anymore. They can't afford to tow all these people and have them working there, so they're getting rid of the drivers. And they're saying that this is because of high fuel costs. Now, going on high fuel cost thing, since they're not profit part of the government, I would say, wouldn't they get a discount for gas since it's a part of government operation? Or
well, the state bid fuel and... State bid fuel in New York State is $1.20 a gallon, in which the towns get it, the state gets it, New York State Electric and Gas gets it, which is the energy department, which is supposedly private. Anything utility, I believe, gets it, and public transit as far as, you know, highways or maintenance or townships all get that kind of number. Schools.
So they should get discount gas, right? But they
right,
don't, they're
right.
saying that they're paying, they're, I guess, $3-4
The state bid number is $1.27, I think, or something of that nature, very close to that.
Okay, so now we got these numbers, right, that don't really match up, but they don't have any money, and the CPA is going down because they don't have any money to get out. Then they went around and bought this huge facility that cost over $1 million off of Lake Street, $1 million they spent for this facility. Doesn't even have handicap facility ramps or really on there or anything like that. Just spent $1 million. Executives are getting top premium dollar for this not-for-profit transit authority that's going on, but they don't think about the workers there, about thinking that they should cut back on their salary and maybe their bonuses or whatever in the not-for-profit they operate. But, you know, that's okay. You get rid of the employees, you get rid of the roots, you get rid of everything, and you streamline because you cannot afford to operate because we're spending too much money on the top end to take care of the executives and the building and all these other things that are more important than the people you're supposed to serve. That's what we're being told. Now, on the other end, we go to the tale of two cities because, again, trickling in on the back end, we have Reverend Al Sharpton. I have nothing wrong with what he's doing and what he's stating because I think it's really important what he's doing. And what he's doing right now is this. He has gone out and said there is a huge problem in regards to the fact that there is an issue of police brutality, which there is. It's open. There is. But then again, Mayor Daley, who said he had no money for transit authority and all these people said he had no money for nothing, came up with $20 million to allegedly give to Al Sharpton so he could stop this police brutality. And then the $20 million, I don't know who's going to, but they're supposed to stop the situation of police brutality. $20 million, they don't have no money. Where did they get the $20 million from? And then they still don't have any money for transit authority on Monday to go out straight. Does that make sense to you?
Well, first off,
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure this out.
you can pay somebody $20 million, but the problem is the process. Now, they're getting directives. It's like the police are being told to leave the Mexicans alone, even though they're illegal immigrants. They're being told to leave them alone, so that's directive. That's not a problem of police brutality, of just miscellaneous troopers doing anything. That's a directive. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a directive where they're being negligent on doing their job, or somebody would be kicking tail and telling them they're losing their job or losing their bonuses or whatever else until their job is corrected. So instead of spending $20 million, all you have to do is start kicking tail at the front office and saying, hey, you better start enforcing the law properly and stop the police brutality. And, you know, the idea of studies is getting stupid. I mean, they say let's investigate, you know, 9/11. Well, I mean, that's water over the dam. It's been hands down proven that it's an inside job. It's no question about it, and there's no investigation anymore. It's a matter of prosecution. So anyhow, again, like you say, why would Al Sharpton get $20 million? What's he going to do with it to stop police brutality?
Well, I don't know where it's going. They just said that he was going to give $20 million. I don't know if it's going back to the people that have been incarcerated or what. But the thing is, if they are giving $20 million, that doesn't count for the people who died. That don't count for the people who are still incarcerated and can't get help. It's the case of Aaron Patterson. He was built alive by the same gentleman, Burge, that's down in Florida resting his, you know what, laurels and around his pension, and he beaten, brutalized, and forced testimony out of people. Nobody's getting him and taking them to court. But they're not doing anything with him. He's retired. He's fine. He's in Florida. But then on the back end, they're talking about the citizens that got to pay all these extraordinarily amounts of taxes. They have to give extra money in so they can have $20 million to stop police brutality, where they're supposed to have a situation that people are supposed to be civil jobs. Isn't civil service? Civil service being being civil, I thought. But then these people get in these jobs and they can't be civil. Two people that they're representing that are paying them, you know, paying the wage. I don't understand this. Does that make sense to you?
No. I'm doing some numbers in my head, and a tractor trailer loaded gets like 6 to 7 miles per gallon on average. He goes, say, 50 miles an hour, or 50 miles in distance per hour. So at 6 miles per gallon, that would be approximately, 9 gallons? 9 times 6 would be 54 miles. And so 9 gallons at $3 a gallon would be 3 times 9, 20, about $30 for fuel. You got a payroll of maybe, what, $10 an hour? Do they pay bus drivers that much?
No, they pay them about close. They think they're getting close to like $20 an hour after.
All right, $20 an hour, $30 for fuel is $50 an hour. So you still got $70 an hour, and you know, on a tractor trailer, you're probably looking at $150,000 investment over a 3-year period from start to finish. So $50,000 a year divided by 50 weeks would be 52 weeks would be. $1,000 a week for this is buying everything brand new, not having to work on anything. So $1,000 a week. We got $70 an hour times what they run, 15 hours a day. I'm assuming that you'd have a bus running from, you know, early in the morning to get people to work, and you run probably till 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Well, they run 24 hours a day.
They run 24 hours a day.
Yeah, they run 24 hours. There's some stops, and the thing is that there are people out working all hours out here. You have hospital shifts, various shifts and stuff. Well, the thing is, there's the money is coming in, and they get money from the state to operate, and they get federal money, and they get discounted gas, and they get what other kind of money they get, but they say they don't have no money. And then on top of it, this is on the heels of increasing the property tax out here to extraordinary levels, again saying that they have to bring this money up because they don't have a balanced budget in the state or the city. So So I told you, I think, before they needed $258 million for the operation of the county. They needed, like, $300 million for the operation of the city of Chicago. And anyway, they need all these billions and millions and billions of dollars, and they claim that that's not enough money to operate, and they have to lay off everybody, including the transit workers. Makes no sense. But then when they want to do something, all of a sudden money come up out of nowhere. And, you know, they have money right here in their hand to turn over to somebody. This is crazy. Folks, call in 800-313-9443. That's one of my pet peeves. And we're going to go to another one when we come back from this break.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, I'm back. Yeah. And live here on RBN. During the week, Monday through Friday, I'm on Truth Radio and simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're here, and we're talking about my pet peeves for right now, and then we're going to the heavy, heavy core stuff. It's getting worse and worse as we go on. Now, the next level of this pet peeve is the thing with the judicial system. Now, the judicial system, just recently, there was an article in the Sun-Times talking about that the court system itself is complaining out here. They're complaining because they have too much caseload. And guess what they're complaining about, John? They said that there's too much legislation of laws on the books. Too much legislation of laws that is flowing up the courtroom so expansively that they cannot handle the number of cases before them. What happens is this, and this is what goes on, folks. You have, like, one judge in, like, law division or one, in this particular case, I think they were talking of probably criminal court, and that was the one that I was looking at, criminal today. And criminal court in Cook County, let's say, in this article, is talking about 26 in California where their jail is. And 26 in California, they have, like, a sessions, and it was judges hear cases, and they usually last in 2 hours. It goes from like 8:30 to 10:30, something like that. Then they go to the next one that's 11 to noon. Then they go on break, and then they have two more in the afternoon. So they're talking about four sessions, maybe a day, maybe longer, depending on how long the cases go. Now, in this article, it talks about it has. They have 275 cases per judge heard per session. So if you have one judge in there, he's sitting there looking at 275 folks in 2 hours. Now, just imagine this. I'm a former deputy clerk of a circuit court, which was happened to be in Cook County. And you imagine seeing 275 people, one judge, one law clerk, and one legal secretary, to go over all that case material. Now, most of the case materials may have 30 pages. Some of them may have a huge amount of pages to them. They might go on for indefinite amounts of period, but there's case material you would not believe in the cases that are before these judges and call. So within that two-hour period, one judge is supposed to be legally responsible to recite and remember law and be able to concentrate, and this is what the public thinks, that he's supposed to know all these things and correctly handle all these things with 275 cases before him in 2 hours and be able to decide and give a good verdict. Now, is that possible? Is it possible for a judge to read a case and put as much emphasis that you have in writing it up, or is your attorney putting it together, all the intricate details of what might happen in a criminal matter as far as evidence, forensic evidence, expert witnesses, et cetera, et cetera? 275 cases. That's a lot of cases to run through. John, what is your opinion of that?
Well, do the math. What, there's 60 minutes in an hour? You got, what, 275 cases? Or is that in 2 hours?
275 cases in 2 hours.
Okay, so we got 137.50 cases in an hour, which in 60 minutes would be a little over, let's see, 130. You're getting a little over two per minute. It sounds like a rubber stamp situation to me.
Exactly. So now let me explain how the divorce division works. Okay, this is what people don't get. When you go for a divorce, you're sitting there and you're saying to your lawyer, she did this. He did this. Oh, he was cheating on me. He went with my good girlfriend, and he went with my my best girlfriend's boss's husband or something, or whatever it was. And then you go through all kinds of mental anguish and pain and what went on, and you go through this thing, and you recite to the lawyer's sitting there looking
Time's
at you
up.
And saying, exactly. Time's up. So you're saying they're doing all this stuff, and that doesn't mean anything. That's what the judge does, and the law clerk, and the legal secretary, and stuff. They have all this stuff all fitted into the system. They have, this is what they do in law division. You are married on such and such a date. You have exactly 2.3 kids or three kids. And Jamie and Nancy, they're going to school right now. One's in college. One's 21 years old, so they don't need your money. The other two are underage. They're looking at how much assets, how much liabilities you have, who is able to support the family the most, whether or not you need counseling. That's it. And then they look at those things, divide out, come out a ratio, and that's the end of the case. So you go in front of them and go, blah, 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 blah. And that's exactly what it is, because all the other material stuff doesn't mean anything. Because the bottom line is they don't have the time to do that. You can't expect them to do that. There's only one judge, there's one law clerk, and one secretary.
You know what's ironic is the fact that you could, just from the looking at the situation from an outwardly look, it's fraudulent. It's just, it's out now, fraudulency.
Fraudulent.
So here we got a justice system that's based on fraudulency.
In what?
There's no way they could handle anything in 30 seconds.
Well, the thing is that they do, because the thing has gotten to the point where it's been menu-driven and put together in a situation that is more or less computer-based, so all this stuff goes bom, 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 bom. You know, like, for instance, again, as your legal secretary, you just put the name in and the husband's name, children's name in, assets in, what property owned, and come up with different figures and numbers to give the lawyer and you argue the case.
It's a fraud.
Well, we'll be back. Maybe it's not. We'll talk about this more when we come back and continue here on RVN, the Ambrose Show.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. For details.
Hi, we're back. And it's Late Night with Deanne here on RBN. Callers 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. If you want to reach me at all, you can call me at 630-666-8528, 666-8528, or 847-594-1620, 594-1620. Email me at deanne.burley@gmail.com. And I got a whole bunch of new websites out, and I'm going to explain those to you later on. But I have something called courtradio.webpaint.com. If you go on there, I got a lot of good information on there, new sites, new information, so just letting you know. So, John, you were saying this was a fraud, right? Why are you saying that?
Well, just look at the compartmentalization, right? They hire more troopers, and because they say they need more, they're willing to pay troopers almost double the money they were paying them 5 years ago in New York State to the fact they didn't have enough troopers, so they had to entice them for the job. They haven't done that in farming or anything else. We haven't had a raise in 50 years. But now as they hire the troopers and they issue them a ticket book for 30 days, at the end of 30 days, part of their job requirements is to fill that ticket book. So now, no matter, even though the population hasn't changed, all of a sudden we have a wave of crime coming on because we've hired more troopers and more tickets have been issued. You've got a situation where we have technology. They put it in our cars and everything else. We could have a mechanism to where not only could they scan us or whatever, but as you drive past a certain speedometer measure on the highway, your car would be regulated to a Murphy gauge that wouldn't allow you to go past the speed limit. So we wouldn't need troopers looking to see if we were speeding or not, because you wouldn't be speeding because the mechanism wouldn't allow you to speed. And yet today we build vehicles that have huge high horsepower, way beyond the measure of what the capacity of what it needs to have to go 55 miles an hour or whatever. And so they're basically creating a scenario of arresting us. It's like they say it's in the name of safety, as I described the other night. I watched a gentleman about 5 years ago be pulled into a roadblock when they're trying to initiate the seatbelt law. And as of today, we have a tremendous amount of divorces and remarriages. And so you have a situation of two or three kids with each family. And now the wife may say, well, you've got the kids this week, or the ex-wife. And so all of a sudden you have, number one, once you start into a situation of a conflict of marriage, it's very hard to raise children with just an original wife and husband. But now if you split them apart, you have less money. So that means you have to have two houses and all those kind of things follow. You have less ability to have a vehicle that might carry five kids or whatever the number is. In the scenario I saw when I was going in the seatbelt stop roadblock, was there was a young boy that was trying to get his life started. He had about five kids in the car alongside of himself and a Geo, and the trooper was issuing him a pile of tickets mandating a criminalization when all he was trying to do was live. And yet you could have a positive things that we declare positive, such as, oh, we had a Little League game and they piled all the guys in the back of the pickup truck for ice cream. And that would have probably been considered okay and looked away from. But here you have a guy just trying to live, just trying to take his kids home, trying to do whatever he has to do. And all of a sudden he becomes a huge threat, and yet we can ignore the idea of the rule on cell phones is that it's more dangerous than DWI driving because it takes up the brain's capacity of function and reaction time and all those kind of things, and it's terrifically more dangerous. But those are the good people that do that, so we leave them alone. And the guy that can't afford it, we're going to mandate more to criminalize him and put him down so he has more dysfunctional systems impinging upon him to eventually corrupt him and shut him down.
And corrupt
all those children that he can't raise properly anymore because of all the money that's been taken away from him. Now we have a whole society of third nation world structure because they haven't got education. They haven't got the ability to go over all these places. We're talking safety. We're designing failure.
Exactly. So then you got a judicial system that is totally menu operated, computer menu, because again, if you write a brief or whatever it is for the judicial system, it's pretty much a situation. It's the same format that you use, and you put in the different municipal codes that maybe apply, or the state orders code to the federal rules and codes, and you apply it, and the judge is supposed to look and review those codes. Is what is good and what, and measure it out. And again, he's got 275, close to 300 people he's seeing within a 2-hour course of cases that come in and out, and he has to look at them, and they're supposed to be individual, but how can you do that when you have no time to do it? Well, then you have a lesser amount of judges. You have a law clerk. You have a paralegal. You have a situation of a court stenographer, but they say you don't have enough money for court stenography. So that's another thing. If your poor guy just going in there with, you know, seatbelt down and you have suspended plate or whatever, and you're, you know, trying to fight your case again, there's nobody to keep a record of what's going on in the court in case somebody says something is wrong, illegal. That means that if you wanted to even try to appeal it, you have no court transcript to do it because you didn't file a situation where you paid for a court transcriber. So, again, you're criminalized, and you have to pay. You pay, you give them money. Now, the thing is, now the courts are coming back, and a judge down there, Judge Beaver, in fact, was the one, and he came forth and said, look, there's too many folks coming in these courts, and you're legislating too many laws, and we can't handle it anymore because there's not enough of us, the judges, to deal with. That's what was said. So now we have a situation that they're still popping out laws. They don't stop them. They're in there legislating laws as we speak. They're having sessions after sessions, adding more and more and more. And then you have more opinions, more torts, more this, more that. And again, a lot of stuff does not get reviewed. And you think that a judge is going to make render proper decision and judgment in these cases? Again, it's open to the discretion, and that's why we get violated.
Well, let's add in that, remember, they're voting on to make the American language not English. It can be Spanish also. So let's make these judges bilingual so they can understand everybody. And here we have a corruption of the upper elite starting to see it. Is the Germans...
No, you know what they do in court? Well, there's a situation of bilingual. They have to bring another special interpreter in to deal with it.
For 30 seconds.
And then what happens, the special interpreter has to come in and talk to the person that is by Spanish or whatever language that they are, it could be anything. And then when they come in, what they do is they give them an option because they might not be a naturalized citizen. And the option is, you want to be heard here in this court or you want to be transferred to a court in your country. And a lot of times, if it's a criminal nature, that if they got prosecuted here, they'll go to jail. Guess what? They're going to just go say, hey, okay, I want to be tried here, and they're shipped right back to the country. Now, that goes on a lot in these court cases. And, you know, again, the public doesn't realize that. And it could be a murder case. And it could be a situation that person says he doesn't understand English, doesn't want to be tried there, he's not from this country, and he's sitting right back. And it doesn't matter what country they're from.
Okay,
we still
have a situation to where the judges have been manipulated now. As they've manipulated us, they're being manipulated now for the biggest money that they can pull in for the most jobs. Now, they're down to 30 seconds per case, and they're told to get as much money. How much money do they get per case normally?
God, depending what it is. Some of these cases, okay, on a criminal matter, most of the lawyers ask, depending on if it's just a small criminal misdemeanor or anything, could be $5,000, maybe under that, depending what it is. Traffic could be $575 if it's not that bad. But most of them ask for a retainer, and $5,000 is, you know, a good number for, like, more advanced misdemeanors and criminal offenses for a retainer. I'm talking about the lawyers. Then they can go up to $50,000 for a retainer. That's not the
For 30 seconds of showing?
Yes. It might be a little longer because the cases go on longer, because if you see them for 30 seconds, then you come back and you come back and you come back. So you might be in court for almost 2 years. It could be on some of these cases, depending on
what
it is.
Okay, so the fine in court is what I'm asking. What would be an average night of take for a court system that's handling 100 or 275 cases per 2 hours?
The number is unsurmountable because I can't give you a figure. Like, for instance, traffic could be a violation of, they used to have $50 fines back in the day when I was in there for, like, going like 5 or 10 over the speed limit.
The stop sign.
Yeah, $550. Then it went to $85. Then it went to be $120 based on how much speed you're doing. If it's a drug bust, it goes by the size and quality of drugs that you have on you, how much to fine it. Some of the fines are set by the judges. So you're talking about some cases, people, you know, have to pay up to $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. Some of them have to pay
So just looking at the numbers quickly here, on the very minimal at $100 per case would be $200 per minute. For 60 minutes would be, 60 times 200 would be $120,000. Am I right?
Yes, yeah, but that's not the number. The number is much greater than that.
It's right, I'm saying the minimal. Let's look at this as a very practical sense. Now, we're generating, and I don't know if my number's right, it might be $12,000 or something, but anyhow, it's still a $200 a minute. That's good wages. Now, we can't hire more judges to develop more wages of that kind of nature?
Right, but you're not taking out the expenditures. The expenditures are, you have to pay the law clerk, you got to pay the salaries to the judges, you have to pay for all this paper. There's a lot of paper that's generated out of it. In fact, if I find out what paper company, it's a good stock to go into, because there's a lot of paper that's paid and used in the judicial system. And then they have to buy all these other things that are needed to do the judicial system. So you're taking the expenditures out, and you're taking the salaries out. You still have a huge number because, again, that $100 number is not, that would be traffic, a minute traffic. On DUIs, it's a lot more than that. And they collect this money like nobody else's business, but there's not enough judges handling this stuff. There's not even enough judges in housing court right now. Everybody's in foreclosure. Everybody, I mean, 122 pages, folks, that were in, I think it was either in Michigan or Indiana, 122 pages of people in foreclosure right now in one area. I think it was Detroit, Michigan.
All right.
122 pages of people in foreclosure, and they're all in court.
And that's 3,880. Let's see, foreclosures.
The number is extraordinary.
Yeah, it's 3,880 count on foreclosures. You were saying there's 100. Well, that's 30 per page of 122 pages. That'd be 3,880 clients of foreclosure. And if you said that they lost $100,000, or say, $100,000 were lost, and that'd be on the minimal again because a lot of houses are worth $1 million or $1.5 million or whatever. So you're gonna add $100,000.
It's a number that you can't even count how much money that these people are generating in the judicial process. And then everybody has lawyers. The banks have lawyers. The mortgage company has lawyers. All of them are paying tens of thousands of dollars to these lawyers. The poor Joe that's losing his house, he may not have the money for a lawyer, because that's why he's in that shape. So they're sitting there, and all this money is going in and out of the judicial system. And next time, we talked about law. We talked about criminal division. We talked about now we're going into chancery and law division and municipal. Those are the ones that handle all these housing cases. And municipal is filled to the brim with people out there that are in a situation that they're losing their houses and property to because they can't afford the rent and they're evicted. More and more money in and out of the judicial system. So they're not broke, folks. They're not broke. But they're
do you realize that number added up to be at least $500 million?
Exactly.
That's on the low end.
And then you've got probate court where people have more extraordinary amounts of money and property, how much money is floating through the system. When I was working in the clerk's office at one time, they said they didn't have no money to pay us. And I started figuring out where they didn't get the money to pay us, because I know there was money coming in there. Because, you know, the as you said before, the police have 30 days to clean that ticket book up. 30 days. And that's tickets for every gone.
So and they get them, sure, and they're back again next 30 days.
Yes. And then you in traffic toward the room, you talk about numbers of about 300 people in the court. I've been watching what's been going on in DuPage County. It's like 300 people in traffic court. And then they're in there, and they're paying, like you said, about $100 and up a fine. in the court. Some of them, they put like plates of suspensions of 1,500, 2,000, 3,000, some extraordinary number. And then those folks can't go to work. They can't afford anything. And then guess what? All that stuff is judgments that go on their credit file. So now they can't afford homes, their housing, or anything.
Well, you know, the idea of trying to take care of the unemployment stuff, I've got a tentative thought of it for the numbers they're talking about. I was misfiguring when I said $3 a gallon of fuel for the bus for $30 an hour. That was way off because they're only paying $1.25 an hour or for a gallon of fuel. So you could cut that down $20. And there's such a profit margin there compared to the real world of what real people have to work in. That would be a pretty good contract just to pick up and say, hey, city, I'll take that burden away from you, and I'll start doing the bus program. And
You can't do that like that.
Well, it's logical.
Yeah, it would be logical, but in order for you to get a contract with any city municipal thing, you have to go through their contract procedure.
Well, they're going bankrupt. They have no money to do business. I'll absorb their investment of their buses, possibly, and their payrolls and that kind of thing, and I'll try to do business on their $2 per ride, and I think I can do it.
Like, you can't do it like that because you have to qualify, and I'm going to do the qualification. You have to qualify first before you become a person that can be under contract with the city municipal government in Illinois. And I don't know how it is in your state, but they're very much stringent on who is going to be involved with receiving contracts and bids. Some of these things are not even allowed open to public or businesses. You have to be on a bid process if the bid is open up to the public. So, again, what I mean by this is you have to go in with your paperwork and proof of who you are, show that you're a good Joe, don't have any kind of blemishes on your credit. You have to be a person that is of integrity. They do massive amounts of background checks. They look at your water bills and things and look at everything that you're about before you can sign the contract with the government to do business with. Then after that, you have to provide a proposal. Sometimes they ask you to put a deposit up. Could be $10,000 or whatever for a bid on one of these types of services or things. And it could be higher than that. And that's how they operate in regards for you to get a contract dealing and doing business.
Now, wait a minute. We got an emergency here.
We're going to break. There's an emergency. We'll be right back. 800-313-9443.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments. investments.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Hi, we're back, and it's late night with BN and RBN, and I'm talking to John, and it's open line tonight, folks, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. John, you were saying before the break, you want to continue?
Well, we have an emergency here. We know Al Sharpton, who has $20 million, and Al Sharpton has a lot of contacts with people that need work. And
I don't know where the money went. I don't say he got it, but they said something about $20 million. I don't know where the $20 million, they said they didn't have no money. They got
Wait a minute. You were saying he had to be approved. Apparently he's approved to get $20 million. He must be approved for driving a bus.
No, you have to, you have to be certified. You can't drive a car.
Was he certified to get $20 million? Or was Mayor Daley certified to hand out $20 million on a whim?
Well, Mayor Daley, he's certified. He said that he was going to do something. What happened was the police, the superintendent, not the superintendent, but the one that they had at one time, they all turned their nose. In fact, the police superintendent and the attorney at the time, I don't want to talk about it, I think it was Daley. But anyway, there was a situation was going on where these people were beating up people and forcing them to testify on cases they didn't do. They were being locked up and they were being mistreated, and a lot of them were African Americans and Hispanics, and there were whites, and they were being beaten and harassed all down the city of Chicago. And that does not include the situations we're going in Coward counties, such as Cookeville and Kendall and all these other counties where they were having the same issues and problems. But it wasn't as severe as what was going on in this city. So bottom line is that there have been a number of organizations complaining because there have been people that have been murdered from police brutality, locked up and incarcerated for no reason, retried, put in the court, and in jail to make an example because one guy escaped, Aaron Patterson, from this, and then they tried to set him back up, which they tried to sell him toy guns. And he told them, oh, yeah, I'll buy some toy guns, all right, making a joke, and they had him on tape, so that was it. So then he got arrested for allegedly buying toy guns, and he's got a 30-year conviction going on. Anyway, that guy is owed money because he was wrongly convicted in the first place. So they're supposed to pay him, but he's locked up in jail. Go figure. Now, there's tons of people sitting in Cook County in different jails because of this, and not only out here in the Cook County area, DuPage and various others, for being forced and coerced into testifying things that they didn't do. The folks could not afford getting $5,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 lawyers, so they sat in prison and they learned more of themselves and tried to argue their cases, a lot of them. And then other ones plea out for help, and they write letters out to different newscasters and people that might be of interest, and they try to get with some of the law schools to see if somebody will do some type of thing to try to open these cases up. So this is going on traditionally, but in order to go into a loophole and try to get any of these things investigated, you have to be certified, qualified, and anything else to do business with the city, period. So now you have, this is where the machine comes in, and this is a huge machine that's a part of the system. So you can't just go in there and say, Mr. Mayor or Mr. City Person, I got a bus company. doesn't work like that. You have to have all types of things that are worse than having master's degrees to go in there to get good business. So we'll be back and talk more about that when we return here on August.